Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. And the Bible says this, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Praise God. Isaiah saw Jesus more clearly than I think any of the other prophets. It would be a close call here with David in the Psalms. But Isaiah penned some things here about the Lord Jesus, and I want to preach about them, but there's something here. The Bible says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged." And the ministry that he has come to give us is a ministry of help. Amen. It is a ministry of help. And too often I've heard those that have just preached about a God of judgment. Amen. A God of eternal judgment. And there is an eternal judgment. But the motivation that God had in his heart of hearts to come to this world and robe himself in flesh and to humble himself to the death of the cross was love. Amen. It was love. God so loved. It goes and transcends any human love that we could have. And I'm thankful tonight for that love. And that's why he did not fail. And he did not become discouraged. Praise God. We cannot fail in this. We cannot afford to fail in this. Amen. And we will not fail if we have the love of God, if we love God, if we walk with God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, our soul, and our strength. Amen. Praise God. A smoking flax shall he not quench. And that word there, quench, means to put out. Smoking flax, he's not going to pour water over it and put it out. And a bruised reed shall he not break. He's not just going to go ahead and snap it off all the way and say, "There, it's done with." No, he's not going to do that, because his ministry is a ministry of love. Amen. A ministry of love. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the anointing that's in this place tonight. I ask you to touch these young people. I ask you to touch each and every one of us tonight. Lay your hand upon us, Father. Open the doors of revelation to our mind and our spirit tonight. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 Greet your neighbor and then you can be seated tonight. Well, praise the Lord. We'll see if we can get through this here tonight. And I believe the Lord will help us to do that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We love preaching on Sunday night. Amen. And maybe it'll end up preaching. I'm not real sure. But we're just going to get into the word of the Lord. You know, when we look at the prophecy here of Isaiah of Jesus Christ and his ministry, it speaks to us of his ministry, of course, but it speaks to us of his person. And as our example, the Bible says that Jesus is our great example. And the scripture starts out here, Isaiah 42 and verse 1, "Behold my servant." Everybody said servant. If you're talking to someone about the oneness of God and the humanity of Jesus Christ and the divinity of Jesus Christ, this would be a tremendous scripture. It came to me while I was going back over the scripture again, and it says, "Behold my servant." If we truly believe that there is a triune God, and each one is equal in power and in wisdom and in every aspect, then how could one of them be called a servant? Amen. But there was something about this scripture here. It gives us of his nature, speaks to us of his nature, and as the servant of God. A servant cannot be equal to his master. Amen. And Jesus was servant to his Father, who was God Almighty. And he said, "I say only what my Father tells me to say." And he said, "There are some things I don't know, only the Father knows." And we understand that this was the humanity of Jesus Christ. He was 100% human being, and he was 100% God at the same time. And I know we talk a lot about that here, but folks, that's really what makes us different, not only in our faith and our belief and our trust, amen, it is in our relationship with God. The Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We use that scripture here this morning in teaching, and it's very simple. God was in Christ. Amen. It was not one God inside of another God, but it was God manifest in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was seen in a body of flesh, amen, and that flesh was conceived and brought into this world by God Almighty, amen. And so when we saw him, we saw the Son of Man, and when we saw him as the Son of God. That's why he could forgive sins and calm the waves and the sea. And that's why he could get hungry. And, of course, that's why he could be called a servant. Amen. And Jesus was literally the robe that God put on so that we could see him in his glory. It was the mediator between God and men. Amen. It was the go-between. There is no other go-between between God and men. Amen. It is only the man, Christ Jesus. It was the robe. Praise God. We saw the robe that God put on. We saw the coat that God made. Amen. The Bible talks about Adam in relationship to Jesus Christ and said the first Adam was a living soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit. Amen. And what did we see with Adam and Eve? We saw that God made a robe and clothed them. Amen. And when God made his son, Jesus Christ, when he conceived him in the womb of Mary, he was literally making a robe to put on so that when he walked the sands of the seashore, he could minister to his creation on their level. There's no way he could have done that just by coming as God and standing on the seashore. There would have been no one that could have stood in his presence. They would have all perished at his presence. But God knew, thank God, that there was of necessity a mediator between him and us. Amen. And so Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy, or obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. And so we have a high priest tonight. He was the go-between. It was the high priest once a year that would go into the holiest of holies and pass through the veil and go into the presence of God. And when he was in the presence of God, he would get commandments from God. He would speak to the high priest concerning the things about the children of Israel. Praise God. And the priest would come back and say, this is what the Lord has said. He was the Old Testament go-between, between God and men. Nobody else could go into the presence of God because they were not counted worthy by God. And yet this high priest in the Old Testament could not forgive sins, because in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the high priest had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. And yet, because of his physical appearance and his qualification of being in the right priesthood, or the right tribe, as it were, then he could go into the presence of God. But not everybody could do that, because not everybody would qualify to be a go-between. But Jesus Christ became our high priest. Amen. He became the high priest, and he became the offering as well. Praise God. And he did not offer himself for his own sins, but he offered himself for the sins of all of the world. Folks, I want you to know this oneness of God that we have been talking about, and that God has revealed to us, will let us to know how much he really loves us. The Bible says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give to us the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. A revelation of Jesus Christ in the mighty God in Christ. Amen. So that the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. We're not going to create a revival. Not a revival. We can create a gathering together, but we cannot create a revival. There's only one that can do that, and that's God. Amen. We're just people. Amen. We're just high priests. We're just those that God has called to do his will. And we stumble and we fall and we fail. Amen. And we go astray, and we must be called back to the shepherd of our soul. But there is one who came who did not need that. He did not get discouraged, and he did not fail. Why? Because the Old Testament prophet said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts hath eaten me up. Amen. Because he was not just a man coming to do the will of God. He was God robed in a man to fulfill his prophecy and his word. I'm telling you tonight, it's awesome when you begin to think about it. We're not just worshiping around a doctrine in the scriptures. Amen. But we have made contact with the great God that created all things. We have been baptized in his name. We have been filled with his spirit. Praise God. We are walking in his will tonight, and we have accepted the call to live for him. Praise God. And this great God that came, amen, he came and he gave us his word. He said, a bruised reed shall he not break. Amen. Reed grows by the river. It's very fragile. It can be bent over very easily. It is a representation of you and I. It is a representation of how weak we are. If we think that we're strong, we're fooling ourselves, because we're not. We are weak, but he is strong. And we will go astray if he lifts his hand of grace off of us. we will go down very quickly. Amen. And this reed can be hurt very easily. And representing you and I, because you and I are in a state of weakness, and we are subject tonight to the dangers of this life. As the scripture says, we are accounted as sheep before the slaughter and as an ox before the shears. And it seems as though there is no hope for us, but there is hope for us. And that hope is in the fact that there is one God, and He has revealed His name to us. Praise God. And not only has He put His name upon us, He has put His Spirit in us. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. Amen. He gives us His Word. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 tonight. Turn with me and let's look at this. Praise God. And Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, and Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." This is the opposite of the ministry of Jesus Christ. When you get into the things of this world, well, praise God. This world can hurt you. praise God. We're going to make it through here tonight, folks. There are a lot of thieves along the road of this life. And they're waiting and they're watching. And Jesus told us ahead of time here. And it speaks of this world. And he said in one place, he said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And so there is a difference there. And the reason is because of love. Amen. One is stealing and killing and destroying. One is based upon lust and self and pride. That's the essence of this world. You'll never get peace out of this world because that is the essence of this world, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We will never find peace, total peace in this world. And Jesus said, "But I'm going to give you peace, not as the world gives, but I'm going to give you peace in your heart." Amen. If you need peace in your heart tonight, you can have it in Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. And so they took everything that he had, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, leaving him half dead. Amen. And then others came along, and they were those that were supposed to be doing what was right. And they walked by, and they left him, and they didn't help him. And they were really a part of the thieving situation. And another one came by in the same situation. But then he said a Samaritan came by. And the Samaritan is the one who knows all about being treated wrong. And the Samaritan was lower than a Gentile and suffered the brunt of words that were spoken against him, not because of anything he had done wrong, but because of where he came from. And it was a very strong form of prejudice in that day. And they put them down and they criticized them. And they did not want to have anything to do with them. But the Lord said, "Here comes a Samaritan." That Samaritan is a representation of the Lord himself. Amen. He came unto his own, and his own rejected him. He came unto his own, and they esteemed him not highly, but they esteemed him as someone who was low. They were prejudiced against him, and he suffered all of that because he cared about the one that was in the ditch, that was hurt, that was half dead. Folks, when we came to God, we were half dead. Amen. Somebody testified the other day about being raised in the church. Amen. But raised in the church or raised in the world, we're half dead without God. We're walking dead men without Jesus Christ. Without Him in our lives, we have no hope. We have no future. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you've been raised in the church or not raised in the church or anywhere in between, I'm telling you, we just need to see this great God who has come to us. A bruised reed, He's not going to break. He's going to bring him to the end, which is a picture of the church. And He's going to put them there, and He's going to take care of them. Amen. Going to give them a place. They don't have to pay for it. They don't have to worry about it. If there's anything else that He needs, He's going to provide the needs. And I'm telling you tonight, God's involved in the church. He purchased the church with His own blood. Praise God. He's invested Himself into the church, and He's going to give us what we need to go forward in revival so that we can reach out to the Samaritans of this world, or the people, rather, that are in the ditch. Amen, that have been wounded by sin, and they don't know which way to go. Praise God. We need to see the value of the inn and the value of the place where God has put you and I so that we can minister to people as they pass through. Praise God. And so, Luke chapter 4, verse 17, He stood up in the temple, or in the synagogue, rather. And here He was in the synagogue, and He was there sitting down. And they said, "Would you like to say something, Jesus?" That's why some say that they feel like He was a rabbi, and He was called rabbi in one or more places. And there was delivered unto Him, Luke chapter 4, verse 17, "And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.'" He is not going to break a bruised reed. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Praise God. And so Isaiah prophesied of Him. And he said, "It's me. I'm the one that he was talking about. And he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Thank God for the gospel. Praise God. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." He is not going to break a bruised reed. Amen. Don't ever get the feeling that you're the least in the kingdom of God. Amen. The Bible says that we need to esteem others higher than ourselves, but don't ever get to the place where you're so low that you don't think that God loves you. God does love you. God does care about your life. Come on, somebody, help me here tonight. God does care about your future. It may seem like He's a million miles away right now, but He's much, much closer than you imagine and understand. Praise God. And so He has a ministry that will not break the bruised reed. But I've got a feeling tonight that He is going to wrap it up, and He's going to put a bandage on it, and He's going to watch it carefully until it's healed and it can stand up straight again on its own. That's the ministry of our Lord. and a smoking flax will he not quench. Amen. And this smoking flax, amen, it's like a candle with a wick on it. And it burns, and after a little while, it goes down. It's like a fire. It's like a fire that you start. I was burning some things at the house one time a year ago. It was last winter, actually, and had a pretty good-sized fire going. And by the time it was all finished, I'd put water on it, and I thought, for sure, this thing is put out. I'm for sure that I've quenched this fire. And later on in the evening, asleep, and a loud knock at the door, and I went to the door, and it was my neighbor, and he said, there's a fire out there in front. And the wind had picked up, and the wind had taken those embers that were going out, and it reignited, and it began to send sparks away. And he said, I think you need to put it out or it's going to get something on fire. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, that is a representation of you and I. A smoking flax or a smoking fire. Praise God. He's not going to come along with a bucket of water and put it out. He didn't bring us this far to stop now. He didn't bring us this far to put out the flame. Amen. Or to put out the embers in your life. Praise God. It's not time to quit. It's not time to back up. It's not time tonight to say, I'm just going to take it easy for a while. Oh, no. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of who He is. Amen. Get a hold of the plan that God has for your life. Amen. And when you do, I'm telling you, friend, you'll be set on fire. He's into fanning the flames of fires that are going out. He's into ministering to needs of people, praise God, who are desperate, who the flame of this life has started to go out. Don't look at where somebody's at on the job or people that you meet. Don't look at where they're at. Oh, praise God. I was at the store the other day, and a lady came walking by, and she looked pretty rough, and looked like she had had a difficult life. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and our eyes made contact, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to invite her to the house of God. I know He wants us to do that with everybody that we meet, but sometimes it's a special thing. And folks, the world has taken some people to some faraway places. And so I began to talk to her, and I invited her to church, and she lit up really bright. And I hope she comes. Amen. And I hope that we can help her, because that's the ministry of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to put out your flame tonight. He doesn't want to put out your flame, but He wants to help you. Praise God. Well, let's stand together tonight. Let's stand together tonight. I'm not going to belabor the point here. I think you understand where we're coming from here tonight. We serve a great God, folks. And I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to tell you that, but we serve a great God tonight. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Can we just lift our hands right now? And can we lift our voices together? And let's just ask God to have His way in the rest of the service here tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we lean on You. God, we need You more than anything. God, we need Your presence more than anything. Touch us today. Help us today, Lord. We're trusting in You. We're leaning on You tonight. We need Your presence. We need Your presence tonight. We need Your presence. There's a loving Savior in this place. He cares about your life. He cares about your future. And He wants to help us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to touch us tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, He's here tonight. Don't leave without getting what you need from God. He wants to help us. He wants to touch us.